Praise the Lord. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, choir. And Brother Brad's going to come and sing another song for us in just a few moments. I asked him to sing. Brother Daniel sing at the close this morning. But I appreciate you being here. Turn to Luke chapter 23 this morning. Luke chapter number 23. Again, greetings to all our friends in the internet audience. And I know that Janie and Emerald up in the in Independence, Virginia, listen to us. They're on top of the mountain this morning. She's concerned about her sister Doris as well. So we let her know we're all praying for the family and ask God's blessing on them. Cindy was saying this morning how much she appreciates the internet. I want you, please don't take for granted Brother Joe Barry and all those who are working here in the auditorium as well as those back in the sound room who make sure the internet message gets out and across so many people are blessed and benefited by it. We thank the Lord for that. I talked to Brother Jim Wilhelm this week, and they listen, and he's probably watching and listening this morning, even in Romania, and they're always blessed to be a part of the service, and we pray for them as well. Luke chapter 23. This month, we're emphasizing worshiping Him. The Bible said in Hebrews, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." In other words, he's challenging us. The closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more we ought to assemble with God's people, the more we need one another. We are blessed by one another, encouraged by one another. And I'm challenging you and challenging all our church family to be faithful to every service that you possibly can. Now, I know that some of you, now it says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's a voluntary thing. Some of you are going to be working. There's going to be sickness. And you know how that is. We've got much of that going on. But please make every effort to be in every service with your family, every opportunity to worship, and you pray. I'll be in revival at Burnell over here this week, and it's at 7 o'clock, I think, every night if you want to come over through Wednesday night. And so you pray for that meeting. But I hope that you'll be in every service that you can with your family during this month. Just make a special effort to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to read my text, and Brad's going to come and sing for us. If you understand the concept of the cross and what it means for us, it's vividly explained in the life of that one Barabbas and the trade-off. Who will we crucify? Will it be Jesus or will it be this wicked man? Give us Barabbas. And what are you going to do with Jesus? They said, crucify him. And so one man died and one man lived. That's a picture of mine and your salvation, that Jesus Christ died. In the book of Genesis, a wonderful story about Abraham and Isaac, and God asked him to offer his son, and so he was willing to that request of the Lord, and he took to offer Isaac a sacrifice. And just before he plunged the knife into the heart of his son to offer him as a sacrifice, God stopped him. And he looked and he said, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the Bible says that Abraham offered that ram in the stead of his son. That's what Jesus Christ did. He gave his life for us that we might have everlasting life. And then right down to the very end, I want you to look at this text. I'm preaching this morning, kind of tying last month's theme of missions into this first month's, to this month's theme of worship. And I want to preach to you on our Lord's last missionary journey. Now, I understand that his ministry didn't stop at Calvary. You know, I understand that. He's resurrected. He's alive forevermore. He met with his disciples before he ascended, before he went back to stay in heaven. But this is his last earthly ministry before he dies on the cross, or as he dies on the cross. His last missionary journey. I want you to, in Luke chapter 23, look with me at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. What he did there for you and for me that day was what it says in the book of Romans. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life so we could live eternally. I want you to listen to Brad as he sings this wonderful song just before I bring the message.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, and now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. His life for mine,
thank the Lord. His life for mine. His life for mine. That's true of everybody in this building, everybody in the internet and the media audience. It's true of you. He gave His life for you. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love. I don't want to be create a problem, but I was listening to the radio this week, and I appreciate what everybody do for young people and kids and everything, and I encourage them. I was just listening. They did a thing in the Selma Public Library this week, and it said they were having a seminar on self-esteem for children. And they were asking for folks 3 to 12 years of age to come, and they were going to do a workshop on self-esteem for children 3 to 12. And somehow or another, it just hit me wrong. I don't know why. But for them to have self-esteem. And I thought, if they would, mom and dad, take them to Sunday school and let them learn one song, they'd have esteem. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That gives great value to you and great value to your life. And that can be your song for the rest of your life. Jesus loves me, this I know. Your husband may not love you. Your mom and daddy may not love you. Nobody in this community may not love you. The world may not love you. But you can count on one thing. Jesus loves me, this I know. I must be worth something for Him to give His life for me. Thank God for that. You do have value. You are somebody because He loved you and died for you. My heart has been on fire for the last several weeks, and I've been sharing little tidbits of the book about the missionary life of Art and Evelyn Yonner. And they were the pioneer missionaries. There were some before them who went in to Suriname to find those tribes of people back out in the dense jungles there, cut off completely from society. They were living as Stone Age type people, and they went to reach those people. They were just like many of you. They were a young couple with a life ahead of them. They had no interest in the things of God or doing anything for God. And yet God in His divine providence put Art working with a man down in Bradenton, Florida, I believe. And that man that worked witnessed to him, and anyhow, long story, led him to the Lord, and Evelyn got saved. And then they began to serve in their local church and to do Bible clubs for the kids. And then he felt like he had to go to Bible school to prepare to do better work with the kids. And in that process, God opened the door for him to pastor churches, doing great. But God burdened his heart through other missionaries about those people in Suriname that had never, ever heard the gospel before. And as they wrestle with that, and all through that book, you realize that real people have real problems. They said over and over, we're not super saints. The wife had problems about leaving. How could he, who loved that church and the church loved him, how could he step out in faith and leave that church? And then when they got to the field, they lived without anything, I mean, just nothing. And they lived among the Indians there while they were preparing and the minister to them and to reach the Stone Age people back in the jungles, and had to live in that environment. And it was just something. And she shares her heart about how she would be broken and weep. God blessed them. They had a little girl, and the little girl had to go into the city to go to school, and she'd go stay months at a time and be gone months away from mom and dad. And that mother's a real mother, and she had real heartaches. And then all that went on, and God blessed them. But their whole thought as they began and surrendered to ministry was this, as missionaries, that they want to give their life a living sacrifice. In doing so, they had this little motto, anything, anytime, anywhere, at any cost. Anything, anytime, anywhere, at any cost. And that was the motto of their life. I've finished the book just in the last few days. And when the mission they had accomplished, what God wanted, God opened the door for Art to travel around the world to do missions conferences and challenge people to missions. But then he got sick. He liked to die 2 or 3 times in the jungle with malaria. And the type of malaria he had never left him. It always lived in him, and it could flare up at any time. But in the latter part of his life, he was stricken with Parkinson's disease. He got to where he couldn't travel, he couldn't speak. And then came dementia. And so for several years, she was his caregiver. His daughter, the only daughter they had by that time, was married and had a grandchild for him and her. And the daughter talked to her mother, wrote to her, and she said, "Mama, I don't understand it. Daddy gave his whole life, everything for Jesus. Why is he going through all this? Why are you having to go through this? Why do you have to take care of him like he's a little baby? Why?" And she wrote the same thing that they'd lived by all their life. She said, "Honey, don't feel sorry for me." She said, "I'm doing mission work right now. Your dad is my greatest mission work." And she said, "We made a commitment to the Lord. Anything, anytime, anywhere, any cost." And she said, "I still live by that. Besides that, this is not the end. Your daddy isn't home yet, but when he gets home, he'll be freed from that body racked with disease and he'll be in heaven for eternity." And what a thought that was. And as I began to study and make preparation looking toward what we call the Easter season, that was still fresh in my heart and mind. And I thought about the commitment they made to reach lost people. And I got to thinking about how that's the same thing Jesus did. That's the same thing he did. First of all, anything to save a soul. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, anything. What do you mean, anything? I mean, before the foundation of the world, the Son of God was already slain before the foundation of the world. I thought about the life of Paul. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us about his life and his commitment to reaching folk with the gospel. And here's what he said, "Though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that were under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that were under the law. To them that were without law, as without law, being not without law to God or under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that were without law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." Paul's commitment was that he would do anything, anytime, anywhere, at any cost. And so it was with our Lord. Anything. What would he do? Anything. Our Lord. What would it cost him? He'd have to leave glory behind. He'd have to leave the Father behind. He'd have to be clothed in a human body. And he says in the book of Isaiah, "I'm a worm and no man." He was clothed knowing all that he would experience. He'd have to taste the burden of sin and the weight of sin for all mankind. He'd have to suffer anything that we might get saved. And that's what he was willing to do. And then any time he was willing to save. Here in this last missionary journey of our Lord, I think about it. Anytime, at any time, here right now, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, all of our sin was laid on him on the cross. Jesus Christ has nails in his hands and nails in his feet. His body has been beaten to where it's not even recognizable as being human. He's hanging there. Blood has run out of his body and still running out of his body. He's beat beyond recognition. And there on that cross, anytime, if anybody had a right to say, "Don't bother me now. I'm carrying the weight of all the sin on my back. Don't bother me now. I'm in excruciating pain. Not now. I don't have time. I don't have time for you." But any time is a good time for Jesus to save somebody. Any time is a good time to call on the Lord. At any time, here he is with all the sin of all the ages on him. Here he is in his body racked in pain. Here he is with all the forces of hell assailing him. Here he is when he's suspended between heaven and earth. Anytime, he said, "Anything, I'll pay anything. Anything, I'll do anything, Father." He prayed in that garden, "Not my will, but thine be done." Anything, anytime, right now on the cross, while all the weight of all the sin of the world is on him, while people are mocking him, all that's going on, and yet there's one man who speaks to him and he responds to him and says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." not only anytime, anything, but anywhere, Oh, listen, he ministered to people by the seashore. He ministered to people in the mountains. He ministered to people in the desert areas and in the cities and in the synagogues and by the roadside and by the wellside. He ministered to them anywhere. But now ultimately in this last mission trip, this last mission journey, he is on a cross, nailed to a cross amidst a hostile crowd. Anywhere, he said, I'll go anywhere to do what you want me to do, Father. Not my will, but thine be done. Anywhere. And here he is on this cross, and there he is being saved. You can be saved. Some have been saved through the years in their homes and in prison and in jail or in a hospital room or down by the riverside or in the backside of a cotton field or in the church or in a tent meeting or in an automobile or anywhere. You can get saved by the grace of God. And he's there, anywhere, wherever you are. He wants to save you right now. Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere. This last missionary journey, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'll do anything. So here he is. He beat beyond recognition, suffering, bleeding, nailed to a cross. Anytime in this crucial hour of all of history, he takes time to speak kindly to a man who wants to be saved. Anywhere in that setting, he saves this man. But lastly, their motto was this, at any cost. This man says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, today thou'll be with me in paradise. Jesus Christ is God incarnate human flesh. He's not limited in any way. He can be omnipresent. He can do anything. He can go anywhere. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's free to go anywhere he wants to. He could ascend into heaven. He could descend into paradise. He could do all those things, but not so would men. There's only one way a man can go to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross. Notice what he said, anytime, anything, anywhere, at any cost. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. What did it cost? What did it cost for him to get there? Was it that he was good? No, it wasn't good. He said, I'm dying justly. He's not getting there because of goodness. He's not getting there because he's been baptized. He won't ever be baptized. He's not getting there because he went to Sunday school and had Sunday school pens or even read the Bible. He's not getting to go for any other reason except for one, the cross. He's dying for Jesus is dying for him on the cross. The payment for him to be in paradise is what Jesus was doing. Jesus was dying so this man could live. Jesus had left heaven and Lord and would descend into the depths so this man could be saved for all eternity. Jesus gave his life to this man, and Jesus died for him like he died for you. At any cost, Lord, what did you pay for us? He gave his life for us. He died for us on that cross. The cross was our ticket to go to heaven. And that's what it cost. It cost him his very life's blood. It cost him his glory. It cost him laying aside his relationship with the Father, temporarily at least, when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Separated from the Father, the glory that he laid aside when he came to live in a human body, to be rejected and beaten by men. Here he pays that ultimate price at any cost. Art and Evelyn's motto was anything, anytime, anywhere, any cost. And that's what Jesus did for us. But as I thought about that truth, I felt I ought to add one more to that. Anything, anytime, anywhere, any cost, anybody. Anybody. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's willing to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He that cometh to me, he said, I'll in no wise cast out. Anybody, anytime, anywhere, any cost, he's there for you. Oh, listen, real people have real problems. Jesus Christ was going through all this. And yet he had somebody that had a need, and he was willing to give his life for theirs. I can only imagine what this man must have felt when God spoke the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God incarnate, said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." How many of you are saved and you know it? You know you're saved. Do you remember what it was like when you finally came to that place where you knew you were lost and there was no hope of heaven and you were going to die and go to hell if you didn't get saved, and you by faith said, "Lord, save me now." And you remember that when all the burden was lifted, all the care was gone, the joy that filled your heart, the wonderful thing of knowing that you're forgiven. This man experienced that on that cross. The Bible doesn't account it, but I know he did. I know he did. And I just wondered what he thought as he watched the Savior, just in a matter of moments, say, "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit," and watched him die. But he had such a sense of peace over him. He's hanging here dying as well, but he has that great peace. In just a matter of moments, or maybe an hour or two, his body will become limp as well. He'll die. He'll die that physical death. But the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And here the Lord Jesus Christ has already dismissed his spirit. And the Bible says that he's gone into a place called heaven. "Brother Danny, will you come be ready to sing?" And he's already left. Jesus has already gone ahead of him. And so when this man dies, Jesus is already in that place that Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And so when he enters paradise, when he leaves and comes there into that presence, can you imagine what he thought? Can you imagine what he said? He had just got through saying a matter of hours before, "I'm dying justly. I'm a wicked man. I'm guilty. I don't deserve anything but death. But yet, because of the cross, I'm now forgiven. Because of the cross, where there are others over there who are tormented, now I'm comforted. I never went to church. I never got baptized. I didn't ever do any good deeds. But because of the cross, because of what he did for me, I'm here now." I want you to listen. And if you're saved, you ought to worship God. If you're not saved, I invite you to come. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost right now would draw men and women and save them for Jesus' sake. I pray for our friends in the media audience. God, you know where they are. I pray, God, they would trust you today. And God, I pray, God, that they'd understand and we'd all understand that the reason we get to go to heaven is not because we're good, not because we go to Sunday school, not because we've been baptized, not because we read the Bible, but we get to go to heaven because of the cross, because of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, nobody goes to heaven unless they come by the way of the cross. You obey the Holy Ghost right now. God speaks to your heart. I invite you to come. Get around this altar. Thank him and worship him. This is worship month. Greater worship. Worship him right now for what he's done for you.
Condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty. Everyone could see, but his destiny was changed when he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before.
Oh, bless you, Jesus.
One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes,
hallelujah,
I can hear him reply.
Around the altar and building, worship him.
There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim.
Hallelujah.
He who brought me here told me to say,
"Glory, glory, glory."
I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross.
Hallelujah.
It is nothing I have done.
Amen.
of God's Son, I have come by the way of the cross. I have nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way to His glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sins away. But what He did for me that day was a price I know He paid. And by His grace,
yes,
I too can
this
say,
our testimony. This is what we say.
Forever saved,
I have come by the way of the cross.
Hallelujah.
I have
Glory.
Come by the way yeah. of the cross.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
It is nothing
Glory.
I have done. Son, I have come by the way. I see millions gather round the throne from every kindred and tongue.
Glory, glory.
Those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Glory.
As they cast their crowns down at His feet, oh, this will be their story.
While we remain in an attitude of prayer. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. I want us to gather around the altar now. Some of you come and gone back, but I'm going to ask all of our church family and investors, guests, want to just gather around the altar. Real people have real problems. And I'm going to tell you, we got so much sickness and so many battles going on in lives. And I tell you, we need to lift up one another in prayer this morning and seek His face. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. If you're here in the building, or if you're on the internet still, and you need some help, we want to help you, want to pray for you. And please don't leave the building today without knowing Christ. You can be saved right now. Anything, anytime, anywhere, anyone can be saved. And thank God for the grace of God that He did that for us. But I want us to join our hearts together. We've got some folk in here. I'm not at liberty to share everything, but folk in here have got heavy burdens. I mean, their families are going through just difficult times. And I tell you, we need to love one another, encourage one another, lift up one another. And, you know, I know none of us can be everywhere at the same time. We can't be, but we can pray one for another. We lift up one another. I mentioned so many names a while ago. But I want us just to pray right now and ask God to give grace and help through all those circumstances. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about our Lord and all that He was going through. I mean, He was in a real body. He was experiencing real pain. I'm telling you, just real as any other human being could experience the agony of the cross. He was experiencing that. Plus, He had the weight of all the sin of all the world on Him. He said, as He went into that garden, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." He had all of that on Him. And yet he still ministered in that last missionary journey to Calvary. He led that man, accepted that man into his kingdom because he cried out and said, "Remember me." Oh, listen, it's hard sometimes for us to keep on going, keep on ministering, keep on loving people, keep on doing. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. And I pray God to give you grace. But we've got so many people, got so many needs. But this is a wonderful group of people, great prayer warriors. And I want you to know if you're here today and your heart's hurting, if everything's just built up on you, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. You're not by yourself. He's interceding for you. We're all here for you. We love you in the Lord. And we just want you to know that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask now in Jesus' name that God the Holy Ghost, our Father, minister special grace. And our Father, we understand what you said, that in the world we'd have tribulation. And that, Lord, there are times that we don't know where to go and what to do. And it seems like sometimes the load is so heavy. But God, you promised us you would never, ever leave us or forsake us. I know there's times, our Father, when there's so many things pressing on us that, Lord, we become fearful. And David did. And David said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord." And God, we know that our frames are, you consider our frames that we're but dust. And God, real people have real problems. And God, I know that it seems awful dark. And Lord, so no end to this thing. It seemed like it's one thing after another with some of our families. But God, I pray for them this morning. I pray, God, you'd, Lord, just help them through it. Pray, God, that you'd give them grace to go through it. And Lord, to be what you'd have them to be. Our Father, my mind goes back to Miss Evelyn Yonner. And Lord, as she's ministering to her husband who gave his life 55 years to winning folk to Christ and ministry. And then in the last several years of his life, that awful battle with Parkinson's disease and dementia. And she was there to have to take care of everything. God, I thank you for her and for her life. Thank you for godly women in this building and godly men. And I pray, God, you'd help us to bear one another's burdens, to minister to one another, encourage one another. Now, Lord, I'm just asking you, God, you've got a plan for every life. And God, every step of the way, the good times and the bad times, the times on the mountain, the times in the valley, all of it, God, you never, ever leave us or forsake us. And God, we don't understand it. And Lord, we'd be the first to say it's no fun when we're going through it. And it seems like there's no hope. But God, I know that you're there. And God, I pray you'd let them know that. And God, when they go through this trial, when they go through this burden, that God, there'll be a better day. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy's coming in the morning. Minister grace to all of these our friends now, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.